The canals in Amsterdam look beautiful from a corner office window, but they're cold, dark, and deep. I used to think the corporate culture at Vandermeer Logistics was just like those canals, structured, historic, and perfectly managed. I was wrong. It wasn't a business. It was a marketplace where the currency wasn't euros, but something far more volatile. We called it the favor economy. And by the time I realized I was bankrupt, it was already too late to get out. I remember my first week. My manager, Bram, sat me down and didn't talk about KPIs or my job description. He talked about reach. He told me that in this building, the formal hierarchy was a suggestion, but the informal one was the law. If I needed a signature on a Friday afternoon, I shouldn't go to the department head. I should go to Sophie in accounting, but only if I'd brought her a specific brand of licorice the day before. Everything was a transaction. Nothing was ever truly free. Not an introduction to a client. Not protection from a botched audit. Not even the approval for 5 hours of overtime. At first, I thought it was charming. It felt like being part of an inner circle. I did a small favor for a senior partner, buried a report that made his pet project look like a disaster. And in return, he made sure I was fast-tracked for the senior analyst role. It felt like a game. I'd buy a round of expensive drinks at the Friday Borrel, and suddenly, my budget constraints for the next quarter would vanish. I learned the language fluently. I knew who needed their ego stroked and who needed a discreet heads-up about upcoming layoffs. I was a rising star because I knew how to trade. But the problem with a favor economy is that the debt never actually clears. It just compounds. You don't just owe one person. You owe the system. And the system is hungry. The shift happened when I tried to say no. There was a young girl, Anika, who joined the team straight out of university. She was brilliant, sharp, and completely naive. She thought hard work was the way to the top. She didn't understand why her requests for basic software licenses were being ignored, or why she was being left off the invite lists for the strategy meetings that actually mattered. She wasn't speaking the language. She wasn't trading. Bram came to me one morning, leaning against my desk with that smug, polished smile that used to make me feel safe, but now made my skin crawl. He told me Anika was making waves by reporting a minor compliance issue. He didn't tell me to fire her. He didn't have to. He just reminded me of that report I'd buried for the senior partner a year ago. He told me that the partner was asking about my loyalty. He said it would be a huge favor to the firm if Anika's upcoming performance review reflected a lack of cultural fit. That's when the walls started closing in. I realized that my entire career was built on a foundation of IOUs that I could never actually pay back. If I protected Anika, I was defaulting on my debt to Bram and the partner. If I destroyed her, I was becoming the very thing I used to despise. I looked around the office and realized everyone was trapped in the same web. We weren't colleagues. We were just creditors and debtors waiting for someone to slip up. The ones who wouldn't speak the language. The ones like Anika got punished with clinical Dutch efficiency. They weren't yelled at. They weren't bullied in the traditional sense. They were just slowly erased. Their emails went unreturned. Their projects were starved of resources. They became ghosts in the hallway until they eventually resigned, wondering what they'd done wrong. They hadn't done anything wrong except expect a professional environment to actually be professional. I tried to bridge the gap. I tried to help Anika without asking for anything in return. I thought I could be the one person who didn't charge a fee for a simple introduction. But the favor economy doesn't allow for charity. By helping her, I was seen as stealing value from the network. Bram found out I'd given her the data she needed for her presentation, data he'd specifically told the tech team to gatekeep. The retaliation was swift. Suddenly, my credits were canceled. The protection I'd enjoyed for 2 years evaporated overnight. The HR manager, a woman I'd helped secure a promotion for by leaking her rival's disciplinary record, wouldn't even look me in the eye when I was called in for a random audit of my expense reports. They found a few dinners that weren't strictly business. The kind of dinners everyone had. The kind of dinners Bram had told me were on the house. In a favor economy, the rules are only enforced when you stop being useful. I lost my job, my reputation, and my belief in the meritocracy. I walked out of that building with a box of my things and realized that the most expensive things in life are the ones people tell you are favors. I learned that when a workplace runs on who you know and what you owe, it's not a career, it's a hostage situation. I see Bram sometimes, sitting at a cafe by the Prinsengracht, still trading, still smiling, still collecting debts. I wonder who he'll turn on next when they run out of currency. As for me, I'm starting over in a place where a signature is just a signature and a thank you doesn't come with an invoice. It's a lot quieter, and I'm a lot poorer, but for the first time in years, I don't owe anyone a damn thing.